I feel energized in this season and really feel just enthused and you know, the thrill of hope that we feel this time of year, not because of any gift I've bought, not because of anything I have received, but because of Jesus, because of what we've been feeling in this service today. I get energized, and his birth comes alive for me again, and I am strengthened in that, and I want you to be strengthened in that and to feel that in your life. Let me read you a testimony that came in this week by email. They said, I really enjoyed watching the service online. My sister and her family have recently started coming to your church. She knows that I've been struggling with getting back into a church for a long time now, and she sent me a link to watch your Sunday service from home. This past Sunday was my first time tuning in, and your message about Mary was very inspirational. It's been about 2 years since I have physically been to a church. I have a child who was recently diagnosed with autism, and it's been difficult taking them out into public without having to endure judgment from others. We go to therapy 4 times a week and are trying really hard to understand this diagnosis. I dedicated myself to the Lord on my first Mother's Day, but I have failed to go back to church since that day. In all honesty, I have let fear hold me back from more than just church. I rarely ever go into a grocery store or go out to eat or even take my kids to birthday parties when they get invited. Because of the message you preached on Sunday about Mary and her obedience to God despite her fear, I have taken my kids to the grocery store 2 times this week, and we've had a positive experience both times. I know it might sound silly and it might seem like a very small victory, but to me and my kids, this was huge. I needed that word from God, and your delivery for that message was right on time. Thank you so much. I look forward to tuning in again this Sunday, and who knows, maybe one day we will come visit in person. Amen. Isn't that awesome? You know why? Because God is not just interested in getting something from you. I think that's our idea about the Lord all too often. He just wants to get something from me. No, he's trying to get something to us and trying to get something through us and trying to bless our lives. And of course, the Christmas story and the story of Mary and of Joseph and the fear that they felt and just the overwhelming anxiety they felt of not really understanding the plan of God and how all of it was going to work and the part that they were going to play in the plan. I want to go just a little further into that story, Luke chapter 2. We were in chapter 1 last Sunday, and you can get caught up. It's on YouTube, the church Covington or the Church Cove, search that, like and subscribe, but the message, Don't Be Afraid, is right there from last Sunday. But let's go to Luke chapter 2 today, verses 1 through 7. They're on the screen if you don't have a Bible to follow along with me. But the Bible says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. I would imagine that in the reading of these few verses, you can sense the inconvenience of the season. You can see this is obviously not a good time for Mary. It's a census. It's mandatory, and everyone has to go. And Joseph has been living in Nazareth, and he's got to get back to his birthplace. He's got to get back to his hometown, which is Bethlehem, and Mary, because you and I are engaged and you're taking on my name, you have to go too. And she's saying, Joseph, this is not a good time. This is not good. I am great with child. I am at that any day now phase of this expectant season. But of course, taxes are due, and the census is mandatory. And so what Mary would call disturbing, what Mary would call an inconvenience, is actually something divine. Because remember from last Sunday, what we call disturbing interruptions are often God's divine invitations. What you and I would describe as an inconvenience, what you and I would describe as something frustrating or something in our way or something that is just messing up our plan, well, that's God trying to bring us into his plan and into his will. Here's what I need you to know today. Just because you finally submit to God's plan doesn't mean the process won't continue to challenge you. Just because you say yes to God does not mean that it's smooth sailing from there on. It doesn't mean that there will not be more challenges or more frustrations or other opportunities for anxiety. No, we continue to feel those things, because go figure, once Mary accepted God's plan, guess what? She again started making plans of her own. Even though she said yes to the Lord, okay, according to your will, Mr. Angel, whatever it is that God wants to do in my life, fine, great, no problem. I'll call his name Jesus and it'll be wonderful. But as soon as the angel left, Mary started making plans again of her own. It's just what we do. And God is saying, you know what, Mary, I don't need you in Nazareth. I need you in Bethlehem. I don't need you in Nazareth, because I'm trying to fulfill prophecy. I'm trying to make things that were spoken of hundreds and hundreds of years ago. I want them to come true. And when your grandparents and your great-grandparents and those before you have heard these things and lived these truths and these prophecies and these promises, they're about to see them come to pass. I want everyone in this room today to know that God absolutely has a plan. He has a plan. You may be feeling lost today. You may be sitting here without direction. You may be wondering, you know, what you're supposed to do in the next few days or what the new year is going to look like. But I need you to know that God absolutely has a plan for your life. But I need to tell you a little more truth. God, his plan isn't dependent on you and I understanding the plan. His plan is not dependent on you and I being able to make sense of the plan. We all want to understand it. We all want to be able to make sense of his plan. But the opportunity to trust him is even more valuable than the understanding. The opportunity to put our faith in, hey, Lord, we know that you know. I may not understand it all. I may not have it all figured out, but I know that you know, and so I am going to trust you. Because again, remember from last week, outcome is God's responsibility, but obedience is our responsibility. God will take care of making it all work and making it all come to sense and understanding at some point, by and by. But obedience is what I'm responsible for today. I'm responsible for the yes. I'm responsible for the Lord, whatever you want to do. And I love what 1 Samuel 15:22 says. To obey is better than sacrifice. You know what? Sometimes obedience is a sacrifice. Often obedience is the struggle because my way seems easier. Have you ever thought that? My way looks like more fun. My way appears to be a shortcut. The old folk used to say the furthest distance between two points is the shortcut. We think we know a cut through. We think we know a better way. I'm going to tell you, when that map is telling you go this way, they've already seen traffic up ahead of you. They've already seen things up around corners and bends. Some satellite somewhere is watching the path that you're on. And the principle is true of God as well. When I can just see as far as my headlights will shine in front of me, that's all the knowledge I have. That's all the understanding that I have. He knows what's up around the bend. He knows why he needs me to make this left turn or this right turn, and if I will just remain obedient, guess what? I stay on the path and I remain in the promises of God because his way is always better. It's always better, regardless of what it looks like. But you know what? This kind of trust doesn't come on day one of following Jesus. This is something you have to mature into. If I say yes today, does that mean I'm going to automatically get that? No. 1 Peter 5 says, after you have suffered a while, tell somebody beside you, you're going to learn one way or another. Hard way or the easy way, we're going to learn that God's way is better. I want to be a fast learner because his ways are better than my ways. God has a plan. And we need to know this today. His plan is stable. His plan is stable. Common to each of us today is our desire for stability. We all crave it. We all want it. We crave a steadiness and we crave a security. How often do we say, I just need something stable. I just need something stable for the next little while. We hope for stable relationships. We want normal friends. We want a solid marriage. We want caring people around us. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times in just the last few weeks with different situations and circumstances and challenges going on. I've seen our church rally to people that just need strength and just needs a hand, needing some help, and everyone's saying, man, I had no idea there was this many people who loved me. I had no idea there were this many people who cared. I just had no idea. But guess what? We do care for one another, and we all want caring people around us. I think of Dennis and Lynn Hembry here today. They have spent a number of years just loving Mr. Joe Elliott, who was often here on Sundays and ultimately moved into Maryvale across the street. He passed away yesterday morning about 8 a.m., and there's going to be a visitation here locally for him tomorrow evening at the Wheeler funeral home from 4 to 7. If you're able to stop in and just offer your condolences or love on that family. And then a graveside memorial in Marietta Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. But the family of God, we come together in these seasons. We come together in these times because all of us hope for stable relationships. You know what else? We want stable jobs. Just give me a chance so that I can provide for the people that I'm responsible for. Just give me a stable job, because I know a stable job is going to lead to some stable money. And we all need stable money. This economy is crazy, and seems everything is costing more and more and going up each day. If I could just get stable money coming into my life. And then, more important than all of them, we pray for stable health. Pray for stable well-being. It seems like everyone I know is getting diagnosed or up against some kind of struggle or dealing with some health crisis. And that's just the people that are getting a diagnosis. There's many, many others that feel like something is wrong and they can't put a finger on it, and no one knows what it is, and they're just feel like they're a pincushion the last few months of just constant testing and trying to figure out, oh God, we need stable health. We crave stability, but end up with chaos instead. Instead of stable relationships, we have struggling relationships. We have people that we don't trust. We have jobs that are uncertain. We have funny money. We have health that is a big if. Seems everywhere we turn, there is uncertainty. And I have questions that don't ever seem to get answered. There's confusion, but there is no clarity. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that his plan is stable. Can I just tell you today that Jesus being born in a stable was no accident? I mean, this is amazing to me. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, he's rich. You can't tell me that if he would have wanted a room in Bethlehem's 5-star hotel, he could have had a room there. But he chose to be born in a stable. If he really wanted a room in the inn, they could have made way. But he subjected himself to the leftovers. He subjected himself to the disorganized place. He relegated himself to the place that was chaotic. And I don't know if you know this, but Jesus was born in a messy place on purpose. He was born in a stable because that was the plan all along. I'm going to be born in a stable because every time I am born into someone's heart, it's going to look just like the stable I was born into the first time. Every time I come alive in someone's life, every time I am born again into someone's heart, it's going to be a musty, smelly, dirty place, but I'm comfortable there. I know how to make that work. I know how to fix that up. I need you to know today, folks, that his plan is stable. His plan was never Ritz-Carlton. His plan was never perfection. His plan was always a mess. His plan was always a struggle. His plan was always to be born into confusion. He's not going to leave it that way, but he said, I'll be born in your chaos. I'll be born in your crisis. I'll be born into your confusion, because I am used to that environment. I was born into the same. My plan is stable. My plan was always stable. If you've ever been to a stable, I know, you know, barn dominiums now are the rage, and barns look like major, incredible accommodations, but the working barns, not so much. The real barns, not so much. There's stuff on the floor. There's things strewn about everywhere. They were unloading a stable yesterday, and hay was all over the front. And it was raining, but Randy Sturtevant was just out there working a broom. A blower wouldn't get it in the wet conditions, but just working a broom. And it wasn't just a minute of sweeping. It was a solid hour of sweeping and just trying to clean up, because it's hard to get a stable clean. It's hard to get a manger place. It's hard to get it put back together. But Jesus said, let me be born in a stable so that you can know you do not have to have it all together for me to be born in your life. You do not have to have everything just right and just so in your world for me to be born in your life. I will come where there is mess. I will come where there is struggle. I will come where there is pain. I will come where there is crisis. I will be born into your heart because my plan is stable. You know what every family needs today? They need a stable. What does every marriage need? We need a stable. What does every teenager need? We need stable. Got money going everywhere, but except where I need it, I need a stable. Junior high isn't as innocent as it used to be, so we need a stable. We need a stable. We need the presence of the Lord to make the difference in our lives. And I love what Luke 2 in verse 6 says, while they were there. Mary left Nazareth in protest. Mary left Nazareth disturbed, confused, frustrated. Joseph, this is not a good time. And you understand that it's not like driving from here to a courthouse in Atlanta. It's not just an hour there and whatever time it takes you to get counted and then an hour's drive back. No, they were on the backs of working animals. They were doing their best to be on some kind of a cart that might carry an expectant mother. It was a day after day journey. It was multiple hours. No, Joseph, I'm not ready for this. And while they were there, Joseph, you promised to get me back home. You promised that you would have me in a comfortable place. But while they were there, for you and I, maybe it's I thought I would be in a different place by now. I thought maybe I would have it together by now. I didn't realize I was going to be 38 or 42 or 57. I didn't realize that at this stage of my life, I wouldn't have the peace that I really craved and desired for so much of my life. I didn't realize that while I was here, that on this Sunday, December 10th, would be the day that the Lord would say, now, it all comes back together. Because you got stuck on a particular page in the story of your life. And because it was a disappointing page, because it was a frustrating page, because it was a painful page, because it was a divorce page, because it was a bankruptcy, but you just stopped reading. And your life has been on a shelf. And that's not my plan for you. Yes, that struggle may be a page in your story, but it's just a page. I'm still writing. I'm still working. I'm still moving. Take the bookmark out and start reading again. See what else God can do. See if what He's done for others if he won't do the same in your life. God, I feel you in this room. Why? They were there. You know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what your life looks like. Doesn't matter what your current circumstances are. Doesn't matter what the issue is. It doesn't matter what the addiction is. It doesn't matter. Source of pain. Jesus will take your life and will begin a good work in you. Let me clean up. Hold on. Before I respond to this altar, let me just straighten some things up. No, just come to Jesus just as you are, without one plea, the old song said. Just come like you are, because you are never going to be able to turn a stable into the Ritz-Carlton. You're never going to be able to clean up enough, work hard enough. We're cleaning with filthy rags. Because that's what our righteousness is. We've got to get in the presence of the Lord and let him be born in our lives so the real remodel can begin. So that the rebuild of your life can start. Something beautiful. Something good. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. There's so much more to the storm. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet.
He's not done with me yet.
There's so much more.
There's so much more to the story.
Oh,
he's not done with me.
Say it one more time.
He's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story. He's not done with me.
Playing that. You may be in this room today needing the Lord to do the work that only he can do. The preachers preach, the singers have sung, the ushers have ushed. We've done all we can do. Now it's your turn to make a decision. I can't think of a better day. I can't think of a better season to say yes than this day and this season. To just say, Lord, you know what? I need you to move and to work in my life. I didn't realize that when you were born in that messy manger, that it was because you were willing to be born in my broken heart. I didn't realize that when you were born in that stable, that was your plan all along, and you were willing to be born into my instability. But God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Come on, every head bowed and every eye closed. I want this moment to be personal. We call it a yes moment here at the church. This is your opportunity to say yes to Jesus. It's the first of many yeses in your life. It's the first of many breakthroughs in your life. But all of the breakthroughs to come have to begin with this one. All of the healing to come has to begin with your yes today. If you're ready to say yes, if you're ready to say, Lord, today is my day. I'm through fighting. I'm through wrestling. I'm through bucking up against. Today is my day to say yes. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I just want you to lift your hands if you want to be included in this prayer today. If it's you, I want to be included. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. I want to be included today. Pray this with me. Say, Jesus, be born in my heart today. Be born into my messy place today. My mind is a mess. My spirit is a mess. It's just a stable, Lord, but you're comfortable in stables. Thank you for your plan for my life. Thank you for your will in my life. Thank you for the future that you have designed for my life. Today I repent of my sin. Today I say no to the world and I say yes to you. Today I say no to my plans and I say yes to your plans. Today I reject everything that is not you, and I accept your gift of salvation in Jesus' name. Come on, say amen in this room. Can we give God praise today?
There's so much more to the story.
Yeah,
you're not done with me.
Say,
you're not done with me. You're not done with me yet.
No, 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 no.
There's so much more to the story.